will. Let's open our Bibles. Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. Boards in the room. I think most people have already signed up. The 28th, we'll have a crawfish bowl slash hot dogs and barbecue and maybe volleyball and giant Jenga. We'll have a get together at the house. Everybody come over and eat. If you haven't signed up already, get with Kimberly so we can know how many mouths we got down and how much food. Genesis 15. We look before here in verse 1, Genesis 15, 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. After what things? The Lord said, after these things. Abram had just went to go get Lot out of those multiple kings, all those people, all those armies. It took 318 men. Don't get lost. The Lord was with them. Melchizedek came to visit with them. He said, the Lord did this. He said, amen. They worshiped God. And here comes the king of Sodom. He said, I'll give you everything. And Abraham said, I will only take a shoelace from you. You keep it. Whatever you want, take it. I don't want nothing to do with you. You think about that. I was thinking here, it'd be one of these billionaires we see on TV, one of the oligarchs, Elon Musk, come down and said, you know what? I like your preaching. I like y'all's gospel. I'm going to build you a building. Would that be tempting? I'll pay you taxes for 100 years. And I'll pay the light bill for 100 years. Wouldn't that be tempting? I pray the Lord would give me the wisdom and the courage to say no. No. Because forevermore, it wouldn't be a house God built. That'd be a house that Elon Musk built, wouldn't it? Isn't that right? Abraham told the king of Sodom, no, you ain't going to glory in what God's done. I ain't going to have to do it. You say, oh, well, I gave that to Abraham. He said, that will not happen. Take anything you want. He said, them people's mine, Lot's mine. And he was afraid. He was fearful in those things. He just gave away everything he had. Does that make sense? He just rebuke a king. Does that make sense? There's just a few of them, wasn't it? There was something to fear. And Abraham took it to the Lord. But the Lord already knew, didn't he? Abraham inquired of him. He asked the Lord. He went to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord promised Abraham back in chapter 12. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. We called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'm going to make a mighty nation of you. Come. And he lived. Where was he going? I don't know. I'm following the Lord. The Lord repeated that promise. That promise of grace, that promise of mercy in Christ to that seed of Abraham. In Genesis 13, he said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Thy seed forever. He promised Christ to him. Abraham had the promise of the Lord. God was going to bring forth Isaac. He didn't know that yet. He didn't know when. He didn't know how. But he had the word of the Lord. He had his promise. And here was a believer that believed God. He was afraid. What did I do? Is this going to come to pass? And the Lord comes to him, to his child, and says, fear not. Fear not. Don't you be afraid. He gave him the word. He gave him the comfort. And Abraham knew that thy seed, not as in many, but Christ, he knew that, would come through his physical offspring. And Christ would come through him. And he knew for several years the gospel was preached to him that that spiritual seed was going to come. Through Christ coming, that's going to be our life. His seed's our incorruptible seed. Abraham had the gospel preached to him. And the Lord spoke to Abraham, fear not. You know, there's over 300 times in the scriptures that fear not is referenced. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to His purpose. And if God be for us, who can be against us? There really isn't anything to fear, is there? What's there to be afraid of? Nothing. My right mind, when my pure mind's stirred up, I know that. That old mind comes back, I'm scared to death. Fear not, is what he's put. So this child of God pours out his heart. He says in verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. The Lord said, I am your exceeding great reward. I am your shield, Abram. Don't be afraid. And like a small child, Abraham was kicking rocks. And he was like, what are you going to give me? You've been saying this for 7 years, Lord. You promised me in Ur, and you promised me up in Haran, and then you promised me down in Egypt. When's this going to happen? I ain't got no seed yet. Abraham, by faith, cried out to the Lord to ease his worry and to ease his doubt. That's a controversial statement. That make you wiggle? That's an act of faith. Lord, you promised this to me. I believe, but I'm in unbelief right now, and I'm growing weary. I'm getting tired. I'm wearing down, and I don't see the end in sight, Lord. Abraham knew that the Lord would do it. He knew that he would provide that seed that he promised. He'd provide the blessings forever, but he didn't know how he was going to do it, and he didn't know when he was going to do it. He was in a state of weakness, just like a child. They were rode in the car, and they said, when are we going to get there? How much longer? How much? You reach back and just hit him and throw him out the window while you're going down the interstate? No, it'll be a while longer. Calm down. Have a cookie. Give him a pacifier or something. Keep him still. You know, it's right for a child of God to call out to the Lord in all things. It's right. Turn over to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. There was a foolish time in my life. I thought, well, I'll not take that to the Lord. It's a petty measure and something simple. I should have. It's right to do that for the child of God to. The child of God to. David did this here in Psalm 142, verse 2. Psalm 142, 2. He says, I poured out my complaint before him. That word complaint's not whining. It's not murmuring. Not, this is how it ought to be done, Lord. That means meditation, prayer, talk. Another translation of that word complaint is babbling. You ever prayed to the Lord and just didn't have words? You didn't have big, fancy, rehearsed, canned responses to give him, and you just went, oh, Lord. And you groaned and you moaned and cried out. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. You know what Abraham's doing? Lord, I'm in trouble. I believe you. Boy, it's been a long couple of years. We're pulling up on a decade now. And I know your word's true. I believe you, but I need to... Can you show me something? Can you give me something now? What can you give me? The Lord's told us, Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's a big burden on Abraham. And I will give you rest. That's what he's asking for. Lord, give me rest. Lord, give me rest. Here's Abraham casting all his worry and care to the Lord. Why? He trusted the Lord. He didn't cast this on somebody else. He didn't go to Lot and said, Lot, what will you give me? Lot, will you show me something? Will you give me comfort, Lot? He went to the Lord, didn't he? He knew the Lord's will shall be done. He just couldn't see how. Has that ever happened to you? I know the Lord's going to call out his elect in this area and throughout this world. I have no doubt. Zero doubt. His word will not return to him void. I know it. I know it. Boy, it feels sometimes. And what I see with these eyes equipped in this head of mine, Lord, I know your word ain't void, but it sure feels like it is. Are your mercies clinging on? How, Lord? When, Lord? Is this your will, Lord, or is this my will? Have you left me to my devices? Have you left me to what I wanted? We'll cry those things when we believe and praise those things to the Lord. We're reading 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. According to His will. This, what Abraham brought up, is concerning the promises of God, isn't it? Lord, you promised. when's this going to come about? Can we have a part of it? Can we have an inherit, an earnest payment now? All Abraham saw was that servant in his house. It doesn't seem like the Lord's working. What's your will, Lord? What are you going to do? I got Eliezer here. That's it. Some said in the past, some writers of old said this was disobedience. And James told us, he said, you ask and you receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I prayed the Lord, he ain't done nothing yet. Well, let's stop blaming him. And let's draw back a minute. Well, is this for me? Or is this for his will, for his glory? Here's the result of Abraham's question to the Father back in our text. He asked. And he received. Those Pharisees, they wanted to sign, didn't they? They said, Lord, show us something. And he said, it's a wicked generation. You ain't nothing but vipers wanting to sign. What's wrong with you? And hear the words to the Father, to one of his children. Lord, when are you going to give me something? Can you give me something now? Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. This Eliezer, this servant boy that's in your house, that ain't going to be your heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So I ask you, did Abraham ask amiss? Lord knows the heart. Lord answered him right then, didn't he? Abraham will have a child from himself, his only son that he loves, through his bride, Sarah. And he was old. And Sarah was old. Her season of bearing children was way past. It was gone. It wasn't possible. And that birth of Isaac, it's going to seem impossible, doesn't it? And the Lord promised him again. He said, no, it's going to come out of your bowels. It's going to have to be miraculous, isn't it? That's a picture of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac is. Born of a virgin. That's impossible, isn't it? I can't be. Couldn't be. How's that going to happen? When's that going to happen? When's the Messiah coming? In the Lord's time. In the Lord's time. You know, when our Savior showed up to this earth, he was born of a virgin exactly when he purposed and it pleased him to do so. When would the Lord give Isaac to Abraham and Sarah? Exactly when it pleases him to do so. When will the Lord give me my next breath or my next meal or whatever else? Exactly when it pleases him to do so. When it's right. When it's right. The physical bodies of Abraham and Sarah, they were unable. What's that mean? They can't have children. That means there would be absolutely zero room for them to glory in. You see, Isaac, I used to come home and tell Kirma how hard I worked. Whenever she was pregnant with one of the children, she said, I made a liver today. What'd you do? All of a sudden, whatever I was doing didn't seem that important, did it? There'd be no room for Abraham and Sarah to glory in Isaac. The Lord's going to do it because it's going to be miraculous. That's impossible with man. It's as much a miracle of Abraham and Sarah having Isaac, of our Lord being born of a virgin, as it is for a sinner receiving a new birth. When the Lord comes and gives life to one of his children. When we're born again. James also said, of his own will begat he us. In the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He begat us of his own will. We must be given life by God. And there's nothing in us that can produce it. We can't produce our own righteousness. We can't give ourselves life. And we can't give ourselves anything that profits from that life. Because this flesh is nothing but withering grass. That's all we are. And the Lord says this Eliezer. It's a picture of an old man. That's what was there. Already, wouldn't it? This ain't going to be your heir. This thing that was already there, that first Adam, that's not going to be your heir. You're going to have a son out of your own bowels. Abraham had the word of the Lord. Look how tender and how thorough our master is. He gave Abraham his word one more time. This keeps happening, doesn't it? He told him, and then he told him again, and then he told him again, and he tells him again. He gave his word one more time. He promised it. But now the Lord gives him a visual. He shows it to him. He's going to give Abraham something to look at, something to see, something he can understand, to witness the magnitude of the Lord's promise, of his power, to show his mercy to his people. It says in verse 5, Genesis 15:5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, count them, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. There's going to be a child come out of your own bowels, Abraham. And you go outside and look up. You see that Milky Way? Can you number those stars? That's what your seed's going to be. Our father Abraham, this mighty man, used of God, mighty man recorded of God. Do you know when this pain come to him? At night time. You ever walked out and seen the Milky Way during the day? We see the moon sometimes. Abraham was crying at night to the Lord. The Lord met him at night. But the moon didn't smite him. At night time didn't get him. The Lord was there. He said, fear not. We were in up New Hampshire one time. That was the first time I really remember. That's the first time I remember remembering seeing the Milky Way. It was way up there, way out in the country. There were no big cities around at all. And I walked outside and looked up. And I was, wow. Look at that thing. That's huge. I thought we was closer to it up there. Maybe it was farther north. Like a mile makes a difference. Oh, look at the stars. Look how beautiful that is. How many stars could there be? There's no way I could count those. And that's just a small portion. That's just that one little area. I wasn't looking the other way. All the way around. Just a small portion. Here's Abram with the promise of God, and the Lord tells him, count the stars. And there's no way. It's innumerable, Lord. And he said, that's not just going to be your physical seed from Isaac. This is the Lord's people. This is my spiritual seed will come through you, Abraham, through Christ. Those that I've everlastingly chosen, everlastingly loved, those I've everlastingly known in Him, in the Beloved. That's what they're going to be, like the sands of the sea. Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a people that will be like the sands of the sea? I do. Can you imagine that? Can you get a hold of that? I can't. If I start doing math, well, if there's 8 billion people on earth times this many generations, right? Our old man goes to doubt the Lord. He said so. I'm sure Abraham had the thought. God spoke these stars into existence. He can do whatever pleases him. He looked up that Milky Way and said, God made that. He said, that's what my seed's going to be. I believe him. He does what he wants in the army of heaven. He was looking up at it. He does what he wants in the inhabitants of the earth. He just defeated those kings, 318 men. That's what Nebuchadnezzar says. And none can say his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Abraham knew once again. He's in unbelief. He was doubting. He was sad. He was low. But he knew once again. And as the Lord spoke tenderness and grace to him, spoke to his heart, look up, so shall thy seed be. He knew the Lord's counsel shall stand. What you determine will happen, Lord. It will come to pass. It says in verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. This verse of Scripture is one that the Holy Spirit pleased to thoroughly explain to us in the New Testament with several references that he lays it out clearly for us. Abraham wouldn't look at this earthly offspring. When his eyes looked to those stars, his heart didn't just believe that there would be a great legacy on earth. He was going to remember me. Oh, no. He heard the gospel of Christ and believed. He believed the Lord was going to save his people. It says in Galatians 3:8, and the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The Lord preached the gospel to Abraham. What's that? What good news will be the blessing of people of any generation, ever, of any nation throughout time? Paul wrote to us in Romans 1, he said he was a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What gospel is that, Paul? Concerning his son, Christ Jesus our Lord. That was the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Abraham believed the Lord that Christ would come through his offspring, and he would save a people of every tribe, of every tongue, every kindred, under the sun and throughout time. He believed that. The Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. That new man in Abraham said, that's right, Lord, I believe. And the Lord said, righteousness. Righteousness. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you're going to do something, if he believed, if you make a work out of not working, you can indebt God to you. He owes me something. You know who I am. You know what I've done. You better let me in his presence. You're indebting God to something. I believed. He says to me, I chose him. Whatever it may be. Him that worketh is not the reward reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's justification by faith. I've heard that many times in my life. I've heard it preached to me multiple times, and I want to hear it one more time. What is justification? It's an act of God's free grace, where the Lord freely pardons a sinner and makes them just before the law in his Son. It's not just as if. I was told that as a child. That ain't right. Well, justification is just as if I'd never sinned. No, it's not. It's not pretend. It means you are just. You are right. Everything you did was right. You know, the heathen always thinks they're right. And the righteous always think they're heathen. In that case, the Lord set judgment. He said, on that day, I'll set up and I'll put the goats on the left hand, the sheep on the right. And he said, he's going to tell them. He said, I was in prison and you came to me. You visited me. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was hungry. You fed me. And the sheep, the righteous said, Lord, when did we ever do that? I've never been in the ministry. I've never served him. Never have. I've looked out for number one. I don't think I've ever served him. And then he'll look at the goats and they said, Lord, when did we not come down to them prisons? When did we not come down to them soup kitchens? I was down there every weekend. At least twice a month, maybe once a week. And he said, apart from me, I never knew you. I never loved you. What's the difference in all that? The love of Christ. Who maketh thee the difference? God does. His love is what makes the difference, isn't it? This justification that he provides, it's not as pretend, it's true. Those that are just, those who have been justified, they are cleared. There is no record of crime. There's no record of guilt because it never happened. I put this down too. There's no expunged records. You know that? Well, you had a bad record, but it passed a small fee to a judge and that's gone. They ain't allowed to open that. It's sealed or whatever, right? There never was one recorded. How? How could that be? I know me. I live with me. I've seen what I've thought and done and acted and everything else. The sinner is a sinner. And they cannot, like Abraham, produce an Isaac. They cannot produce life. They can't produce righteousness. Because of God's promise. Because of what he provided, his provision. He accepts that sinner completely and forever in his Son. Why? Christ bore our sin. He bore our shame. He bore our guilt in his body on a tree. The one that knew no sin, he was perfect, born of a virgin, lived that perfect life his whole life. He knew no sin. He was made sin. The feminine noun. Who gets offended at that? People that think they don't have any sin. He was made me, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what took place. He was our substitute. Can we do that? We can't do that. If you committed a murder and I said, boy, I love you. I want to go down and I'm going to serve that life sentence for you. And I want to take that lethal injection for you. Even if they let me do it, the guilt didn't. There was no transfer of guilt. Man can't do that. Well, what about salvation? With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. He's the God of salvation. It wasn't enough that we were bought. I want to say this carefully. It wasn't enough that we were bought. It wasn't enough that we were squared up underneath the law. It wasn't enough that our sin was removed. We were made His righteousness. We were bought, we were cleansed, and we were made holy. Holy. We were made Him. We're made one with Him. What are you going to add to that? You make me a list. Put little boxes next to it so you can check it off. What are you going to add to Christ and Him crucified? Nothing. Nothing. What does that mean? It was accounted to us. Christ was counted to us. It was reckoned to us. That's what the Scripture says. And it was imputed to us. What does all that mean? It's already there. It's already present by a prior act, and it's confirmed by visual inspection. It's an accounting term. It's reckoned. It was imputed. The Lord didn't say, well, He had faith. Now I'm going to deposit this much in His account. People in these banks, you know why they always refer to it as a bank? Because they like filthy lucre. That's why they like referring to it as a bank. The Lord didn't deposit that after He saw something. He came by and said, what's there? Righteousness is there. What's the proof of that righteousness? What's the proof of that life in Him? Abraham believed. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Can you see life in somebody? No, but there sure is evidence of it because they believe God. They believe His Word. It's an accounting term. We do this every month in our checking account. We confirm what's there. We match our records with the record that the bank gives us, and it's called reconciling the account. If you don't reconcile your account, you ought to. Balance checkbook. We're teaching our children to. But the Lord reconciles account. Righteousness, root word is equity. Equity. I had a friend who couldn't say iniquity. He always said inequity. And he said, well, I'm sorry about that. I said, no, that's right. We ain't just sin. We're in the hole. We're in debt. There's a negative. We're in the red. What's righteousness? That's not just brought back up to zero. That's equity. Profitable to God. They're profitable servants. It says in verse 5, Romans 4, 5, but unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Do we deserve that? We're ungodly. You ever been ungodly? I'd like to find some ungodly folks. I'd love to find some, not religious folks, not Jews and Pentecostals and Presbyterians, and I've been a Southern Baptist since great-great-grandpa. I want to find somebody who's ungodly, at war with God. How could you put those three words together? Justify the ungodly. You tell the good news to sinners, real ones, real ones. One that God's made a sinner, one that God made know what they are, and you say, God will show mercy to you. God will justify you. Come to Him. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Come to His Son. Worship Him. And if they know something of their sin, that's because they know something of the holiness of God. And you know what they'll say? Because they know their sin. They know what they are. They know who He is. They'll cry out just like Job. How can a man be just with God? How could this be? How could it be? We were made born of His incorruptible seed. There's a new man in us. And there's a war with that old flesh. A war is going on. That new man fully believes God, fully trusts God, fully casts all its cares on Him. But the enemy within us, we're housed in, it accuses us. The biggest person says there's no way you can be a child of God. Hey, never did somebody come up to me and say, here, right here, I'm the woman, that man in the mirror. My greatest accuser. Sows doubt, sows discord in my own members, my own body. That war is raging. How do we know we have life? How could this be? We believe. Faith is the proof of life. We believe God. That's proof. That's proof. There in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Well, half is eternal, isn't it? How do they believe? Because they had life. They were born. Can a baby that's never been conceived and never been born, can it believe? Well, no, it ain't there. There's no life. When there's life, there's belief. They believe. The new spirit in the child of God knows it was His doing. Lord, You did. We know that our birth is a legitimate one. It's done in righteousness. Because he's just and the justifier. This was right. This was, sin wasn't pushed underneath the rug. This isn't pretend like the Gnostics said, well, Christ didn't really come in the flesh. It was as if he was in the flesh because he's too holy to be in the flesh. I always think it's weird people think they're holier than God is. And they think the way they perceive it ought to be the way it is. The Lord said he's made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that good enough for you? That's good enough for me. He said so. We know this was a legitimate birth that we have, and we love the one that first loved us, and we look to him, and we look for him. Just as Abraham did. Just the way he cried out to God, and the Lord said, come outside, Abraham, look at them. He said, I believe you. I believe you. And he looked to him once more, and guess what's going to happen again? Abraham's going to cry out to God. He's going to look for him. Turn over to Psalm 130. I'll let you go. Psalm 130. Just like Abram, just like David, just like Job, every believer is going to have doubt. Every believer is going to have unbelief. But when they cry to the Lord to increase our faith, Lord, forgive our unbelief. Give us a word. Give us a sign. Give us Jehovah Nisi, Lord. You're our banner. Give it to us. When his children cry to see him, they'll always see the same thing. Christ. That's what Abraham was showing. They're going to see Christ. Look here in Psalm 30. He's the Word. He's our righteousness. And he's our hope. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, you're holy. We honor you. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. What are we waiting on? Well, I'm waiting to, guess what we looked at the first arrow, and I hope that's what we look at every time. Where's the lamp? You want to kick up dust and gold dust and glory on the streets? Is that what you're looking for? Oh, I'm be floating on a cloud, playing a harp 24/7. No. I wait for the Lord. I'm waiting for him. My soul doth wait. My soul's waiting. And in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For the Lord there is mercy. And with him plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's my hope. And there's times that take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Any trial that comes about, take it to the Lord. Call on him and ask him to show you what his will is. Ask him to be with you, that he's there. Ask him to bless you. Ask him to give him a pure mind stirred up to think on these things, dwell on these things, be compassionate, have fruits of the Spirit bountifully towards all mankind. Ask those things. But when we come to the Lord and we petition him, and when we doubt, when we fear, when we have trouble, when we just don't see a way out, what we're going to see if we're his is Christ. That's the gate. That's the door. That's the way. And we're troubled about all these things. And the trial may not be over. Isaac didn't come out the next morning. There's still some time left. The trial may not be over for a long time. But if we beg for him, Lord, show us something. We're going to see Christ. If you see something else, you miss the mark. Something more. I pray he would show himself to us and reveal himself to us. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for these promises you've given us and your presence. Will be with us. We know you're always with us, but allow us to see you. Allow us to see your Son. What his word is, what he's accomplished, and allow us to long for that day. Our soul waits on him till we can be with him, be made like him, and see him as he is. Lord, forgive us for what we are. Be with our brethren everywhere, Lord, those around this world that you've loved before time, you've revealed yourself in. allow us to pray for our brethren and put that in our heart. Give us the ability to, Lord, and accept it. We're thankful for Christ's intercession. Lord, it's in His name that we ask these things. Amen.